expectations the last few Sundays, and it really has been a series that has been important for our faith because we sense that our faith is growing, not only the faith of people, of individuals, but our corporate faith, our body faith, our church faith that is expecting for God to do something great. And I think that you, along with me, we sense that God is both raising and redefining our expectations. If today is your first Sunday in the series, you could definitely catch up on our podcast at tcac.life or allow me just a moment. When God raises and redefines our expectations, sometimes our expectations have been so low. Sometimes because of life's circumstances, because of the disappointments that we have faced in life, and we have dealt with that in this series, our expectations get lessened to a degree that we don't expect much out of any day. We just kind of wake up and think, well, this is going to be another day. It's going to be a day when I'm probably going to be disappointed, or my feelings are going to be hurt, or someone is going to let me down, or some challenge of circumstances is going to be so great that I'm not going to be able to really experience happiness or experience any real lasting joy. And so then God comes in and he begins to raise and redefine our expectations to the point that we begin to believe again, wait a minute, my thoughts should be higher than this, and my expectations should be higher than this. And so he begins to build my faith. You remember in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, he instructs us, remember not the former things. So the things that disappointed you, the things that let you down, the things that broke your heart. He said, I don't even want you to remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Why? Because I'm doing a new thing. Doing a new thing in your life. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So each week we have worked through Bible stories to see how Jesus raised and redefined expectations because he wanted people to believe. He wants you and I to believe. He wants us to be people of faith. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to believe God. And you hear that and you may think, wait a minute, I'm not a person of faith. I'm not a person who believes for, great things. I'm just, average Joe. I'm just, no offense to the real Joes in the room, but I'm just regular guy who doesn't have, that real spiritual thing working for me, but I think we've seen each week where those average, regular, everyday people saw their expectations raised and redefined because God wants us to be people of faith. He wants that for us. So today, I want to go to John chapter 6, and I want to read a few verses, and then I'm going to come back and kind of work through these a little bit the way we've done the last few weeks, and I think all of us are going to be helped. And this is an important story, and I want to set the scene, if you will. It's an important miracle. This is the miracle that Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he multiplied them, and people were fed, and people were blessed. And it's a very important miracle because, for a number of reasons, there are many valuable lessons and many truths that are found, and we'll extrapolate a few of those before our time is done. But I've always found it interesting that this is the only miracle, this miracle of the feeding of the thousands of people is the only miracle that all four of the gospel writers write about. You have the synoptic gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Synoptic means that they're telling the same story, but they're telling it from their perspective. So they're talking about some of the same events, and maybe this miracle over here was important to one of the writers, and then one of the other writers did not take the time or didn't mention that specific detail. But this miracle, the feeding of the thousands of people, all four of them wrote about, I believe, because there were so many lessons in faith, so many lessons in expectation that the inspired, Holy Spirit author of the Bible didn't want anyone to miss this. He didn't want anyone to miss what God wanted us to know about expectation. So John chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answers, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Notice verse 13, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. I want to teach today for just a little while on this subject. Faith always brings a basket. Faith always brings a basket. There is something about my faith that believes, that anticipates, that knows something is going to happen. So this story is fascinating to me. I mean, just the few details that jump out at you, I'm sure jumped out at you just like they jump out at me. Jesus is teaching. And we know it's a good church service because everyone is wondering where they are going to eat when the church service is over. Where are we going? What's for lunch? Who's open? Who's serving? What are we going to do? And Jesus said, look, we're feeding these people spiritually, but they've been with us now for a long time. We're watching the clock. We're making sure that we're going to get you out at a decent time. These people had been there all day long, and Jesus knew that they were hungry, and so he wanted to feed them. There's just one problem. The Bible said there were 5,000 men, just men, 5,000 men. Mark picks up another detail and says, besides women and children. Let me just give you something to think about. You were not considered a man until you reached the age of 30. And so if they counted men 30 years and above, if each one of those had a wife, if each couple had a child, not even thinking about multiple children, how many people were there on this hillside? I dare say there were many more than 5,000 that were there. And Jesus is looking out at this vast crowd, this vast multitude of people, and he's saying, "Hey, Philip, I've got a question for you. Where are we going to buy bread so that these people can eat. We want to make sure that they leave satisfied. We want to make sure that they leave fulfilled. We want to make sure that they leave blessed. Where are we going to feed them? Philip has bitten all of his nails down to the quick. He's nervous as he can be. He's pulling hair from his head. How are we going to solve this problem? Can I tell you that while Philip is nervous, while Philip is trying to figure out how he's going to solve this problem, the Bible said that Jesus said this to test him. The King James says that Jesus said this to prove him, for he himself already knew what he was going to do. The thing that Philip is wringing his hands over, the issue that has Philip so beside himself, the thing that has turned the disciples into a bunch of stressed out weeping men, Jesus already knew how he was going to solve the problem. I wonder what it would do for you and I on this Sunday morning to come to the place of realization that whatever it is that is stressing me out, whatever it is that is causing me to wring my hands, whatever issue that I've got in my life that is keeping me awake at night, that's causing me to just miss out on real. I wonder if we would just realize that whatever it is we're facing, Jesus already knows how he wants to resolve it in your life. He already knows how he wants to work it out. He already knows how that he wants to provide a miracle for you. I wonder how much better we would sleep tonight. I wonder how much more we would enjoy our lunch today or our friends or our family if we would just rest in the knowledge and in the confidence that whatever it is I'm facing, Jesus already has an answer. He already knows. And Philip said, "What? I don't know what we're going to do. We've had this church service for hours, and we've only got 200 pennies worth of bread. 200 denarii, it's a very small amount. That's another message altogether to have 5 or 10 or 15,000 people, and all you've been able to get in the offering is 200 pennies. Whew, that's a good message. I'll preach it sometime, but not today. What are we going to do? How are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to bless these people?" And while they are talking about it, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, comes and said, "Lord, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." I'm just walking through the congregation. I'm just looking across the crowd. I'm just trying to see if there are any answers, if there's any way out of this situation, if there's any way to fix this problem. And I found a lad here. I found this young man here. Pardon my own personal interpretation, but I almost sense a little sarcasm in Andrew's tone, because he's saying, "Lord, I know we need food. We're trying to figure out how we are going to satisfy their hunger. And I saw some young people over here. I saw a student, I saw a lad, I saw a young man. I saw someone over here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? I saw a young man with a little bit of talent, but he's not ready. I saw a young lady with a pat, but she's not worth it. Can I just talk to some lads in the room? Can I talk to some students? Can I talk to some young adults in the room? Whatever it is you have in your hand, whatever it is that you possess in your life, it is enough to get Jesus started with what he wants to do. It is enough for God to work a miracle in your life. Andrew said, "There is a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but it doesn't even amount to anything. Doesn't amount to anything. The loaves and the fish, it's just enough for this boy. It's not enough to feed all of these people. But listen, we're not responsible for how much. We're not responsible for the amount. We're just responsible to put what we have into the hands of Jesus. We keep thinking that what we have is not enough. We keep thinking that what we have to give, what we have to offer, is not going to be consequential, that it's not going to matter in the grand scheme of things, in the vastness of the need. Listen, don't worry about that, because God's economy is far different than yours or mine. God's way of thinking is much different than the way that I think. If I'll just be available to give what I have, if I will just present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, if I'll just do what I can, don't you know that God can do the miraculous with what I have to give? Amen. Talking about our expectations today, our faith, where we are in our ability to believe God for great things. And I want you to notice this. I want you to notice that what Jesus wanted to use, the ingredient that Jesus needed. We need food, Philip. Where is food? There's a lad here. The thing that Jesus was looking for, it came from among them. I don't want you to miss that. The ingredient that Jesus was looking for to bring about the greatest miracle any of them would ever experience, it came from among them. Congratulations to this section. You look so much better this week. This is awesome. I love it. It came from among them. That tells me that the ingredient that God wants to use to bring about revival at the church at Covington, it's going to come from among us. I wasn't planning to spend much time on this, but I think I'll take just another minute. Is that all right? The worship that we need to get to the next level of anointing. The Bible says that the anointing is what breaks the yoke, destroys the yoke. The worship that helps generate God's anointing and God's spirit and God's power in this place. It's already in this room. Maybe we haven't sung your song yet. Maybe we haven't preached your sermon yet. Maybe we hadn't been able to wake your spirit up. But can I tell you, the worship, the hallelujah, the Lord, I'm here to bless your name, it is already in this house. The talent that we need, the church kids teachers that we need, the ushers that we need, the praise members that we need, the band, it's already in this house. I pastored a sweet lady, and she passed away a couple of years ago. Our family loved her. She had no children close, no family close. She was 86 years of age. My grandmother, who had never attended church a day in her life until we started the church in the Woodlands, she is the one who brought her to our church. They lived in a little senior center together, and so she brought Miss Marva with her, and she was a member of our church until she passed away. Faithful, and she was our friend, and I loved Miss Marvel very, very much, but there was rarely a week that would go by that she would not write me a handwritten letter or call me on the phone and say, Pastor Darrell, I'm praying that God will send us a millionaire. I know you have a big vision. I know you want to do great things. I hear you preach about the possibilities of what God is wanting to do, and I'm praying that God will send us a millionaire. And I listen, if you pray for a millionaire, I'll always receive and agree with that prayer. Always, always. It's just, you, if you pray for millionaires, I'll automatically be your friend. It's a great thing. But I knew something was absolute fact. God wasn't going to send us a resource from outside until we used what we had on the inside. Because too often that is the dilemma and the crisis and the problem in the church. We're waiting on someone else to do what we are able to do ourselves. We are waiting on someone else more talented, more willing, more available. And the Lord would say to every one of us on this Sunday of great expectations that it's time for you and I to do what God has asked us to do, called us to do, challenged us to do. That's why I say the worship that we need to get to the next level, it's already in this house. The finance that we need to get to the next level is already in this house. The talent that we need to get to the next level is already in this house. The question is, are we willing to give it? There's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but is he willing to put what he has into the hands of Jesus? Is he willing to give his little bit to the Lord? That's the question. Am I willing to give what I have? And ultimately he did. He gave it. He gave it to Jesus. And the Bible said that Jesus took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. He blessed it. And then he began to break it. He blessed it. And then he began to break it. Wait a minute, Pastor. I think he multiplied it. He did, but in order to multiply it, he had to break it. He blessed it, and then he began to break it. And we're questioning the things that we go through, and we're frustrated with the challenges that we have in our lives, and we're wrestling with why we go through what we go through, and we don't even realize that God is just trying to make more out of us than we ever thought we could be, or to be able to do more than we ever thought that we could do. Sometimes I'm being broken. Sometimes I'm blaming it all on the devil. Dumb devil, you be rebuked. And God is saying, rebuke him all you want. It's me that's trying to multiply you. Bless the bread. And he began to multiply it. And then he gave it to the disciples. And the disciples began to give it to the people. You want bread? Have some bread. You want bread, Chris? Here. You want some fish, Spencer? Here, eat some fish. You want some bread? The Bible said that they had as much as they wanted. That tells me, Pastor Mark, that there is no limit to how much of God I can have. I can have as much of him as I desire. I can have as much. Am I making anybody uncomfortable preaching down this aisle? I'm going to give Brother Wesley a workout today, see if he can follow me everywhere I go. He's still on me? Got a good cameraman in this church. They had as much as they wanted. They had as much as they desired. You can have as much of God as you want. Stop thinking that you've achieved all there is to achieve, attained all that there is to attain, reached every level that there is available. Eye has not seen, ear has not. You have not seen and received and achieved or attained everything that God has available to you. If you'll keep reaching, you'll find out there's another facet to God that you never even knew existed. There's that commercial that says, stay thirsty, my friends. I would say stay hungry. Stay hungry for God because you'll keep experiencing him. Do you want more fish? Do you want more bread? And finally, the Bible said that they had as much, I can't handle anymore. I don't want any more bread. I don't want any more fish, I'm done. I've eaten all that I can eat. I don't want anything else. And so the Bible said that Jesus told the disciples, gather up the fragments because I don't want anything to be lost. In other words, I'm not letting one crumb of my glory be wasted. I don't want any of this to be lost. Gather it all up. And the Bible said that 12 disciples, bring me that square. The Bible said that 12 disciples got 12 baskets. Now this is my question, Carrie. I understand where the crowd came from. I understand the lad, the lunch, the disciples. I got all that figured out. But where did the baskets come from? Who had the presence of mind to say, I'm going to church today. And see, I got my coat, I got my keys, I got my wallet. Oh, I better get a basket. Where did the baskets come from? Can I talk to you about your faith today? Because let me tell you something the disciples had learned very quickly. If we're going to be with Jesus, something great is going to happen. If we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, something big is going to take place. If we're going to be in God's house, then we're anticipating and believing and knowing that there is going to be breakthrough and there's going to be abundance and there is going to be overflow and there is going to be something that is going to happen. So I am going to take a basket so that I can be prepared to receive, to pick up, to handle everything that it is that God has for me. Their basket is the equivalent of your faith. When you come to church and know, I'm on my way to the house of the Lord, and I believe that something is going to happen. I'm anticipating that God is going to work, that His Spirit is going to move, and I don't want to be in the presence of the Lord without my faith. I want my faith to be strong. I want my expectation to be strong so that I can receive everything that God has for me. If I have my faith, I can receive and believe for the impossible. What I need to know, is there anyone at the church that has faith to believe God can do anything? Do I believe that God is able? Do I believe that God can grow this church by 100 people in a year? Do I believe that God can do big things in this community? Where is my faith? Where's my faith? I was at a church service one night in Detroit, Michigan. Sunday night service, and God was moving powerfully. There was a lady in that service. I didn't know. We had called people to the front that needed prayer, and they came and they said, come pray for this lady. And when I walked up to her, she was in long sleeves. She was in almost like a turtleneck kind of a situation. Her neck was completely covered. All I could see was just a little bit of her face. And they said, pray, this is serious need. I didn't know what I was praying about or what I was even believing God to do. Just whatever it is, Lord, you know the need. And while I'm praying for her, I mean, Kevin, I just closed my eyes. I just assumed the position, you know, the preacher position, the my God, I'm going to pray for you in G. You know, that position. I just got into place, and Felix, as soon as I said, Jesus, you're able, the woman was gone, and I thought, oh, praise God, another one fell out under the power of the preacher. No. You don't even know me well enough to know I can't stand that kind of thing. But I looked, opened my eyes. The Bible said, watch and pray. I opened my eyes wondering, thinking she had maybe fallen out in the altar. And I look up and see her scooting out of the building. She's on her way out. And I thought, what did I say? What did I do? I've offended this lady. I don't know what just happened. And there were hundreds of people there and lots of needs and people wanting prayer. And so I moved on to the next one and honestly didn't think any more about it until that following Monday when the pastor came and picked me up at the hotel to go to lunch. And we just ordered our lunch. And he said, oh, I almost forgot to tell you. You remember that lady that was there last night? The lady, and he described what she was wearing. It was a lady that was covered up head to toe. And I said, yes. I started to pray for her, and she went out from under my hand, and I looked up and saw her going out the exit. He said, man, listen to this story. You're not going to believe this. He said, that lady has cancer, and the cancer, odd, has produced these cysts all over her body. Visible cysts, they're on her arms, they're on her chest, they're on her back, they're on her neck. Visible lumps and just all over her body. And he said, she felt so much of the power of God in that service that she felt like something had changed in her body. She lives just a mile or so down the road from the church. When she went out the door, she went to get in her car and go home, and in the privacy of her own bedroom, began to disrobe herself so that she could look in the mirror. And when she got herself undressed to the point that she could look at her arms and look at her chest and look behind at her back, every place that there had been a lump, there was no longer a lump. Every place there had been one of those cysts, there were no longer any cyst on her body. So she got up on Monday morning and called the doctor and said, I have to come in and see you. They said, you don't have an appointment scheduled. I have to come in and see you. They said, we're all booked up. She went to the doctor anyway, demanded to see the nurse. Somebody check me out. Got into the exam room and the doctor came in wondering what all of the fuss was about. But as soon as he saw her, as soon as he looked at her, he said, I don't know what has happened to you, but you are completely and totally healed of your cancer. Why? Because somebody brought a basket. I'm talking to people at the church at Covington who have needs in your life, who have crisis in your life, have issues in your life. All you need is some faith to believe that God is able to do anything. And I promise you that you will go home with a full basket. Does anybody believe that God is able? There is healing in the name. I didn't know that was going to be here today. I didn't know I was going to receive that today. I'm glad I brought my basket. I didn't know that God was going to do that kind of miracle today. Look at there. You know how long I've been praying about that? Been asking God to do that for a long time. I'm glad I brought my faith on March the 18th. Glad I came ready and prepared and believing and anticipating. Look, I didn't know God. Look, I didn't need a basket today. I just needed your purse. Good Lord. Morgan, you have a boyfriend in there? I know better than to look. I can't even use that for preaching. You're going to have to. Look at there. Look, look, look. Look. You know how long I've been wanting one of those? Hello? I've been needing that for a long time. So glad I came believing that today was my day. So glad I came knowing that God was able to work in my life today. Crystal, did you come believing God was able today?
Hallelujah.
I speak healing in your body from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. The call of God is on your life. You're not able to do everything you want to do and desire to do because you just don't feel good in your body all the time. But I'm telling you, there is new strength coming to your body. There's new life coming to your body. Where is my faith? I believe God is able. The question is, what do you need God to do in your life? Pastor Darrell, I hear you talking about cancer. I don't have cancer. I've got a marriage that's falling apart. God is able. God is able. If I have faith. I'm never going to have great faith. Like you, don't think I have great faith. I'm never going to be as spiritual as someone else. Don't let the devil cheat you out. The Bible says if you have faith as of the grain of mustard seed. If I was holding a mustard seed on the tip of my finger, you wouldn't be able to see it from where you're sitting. It's how small it is. And yet he said, if you have that, you can move mountains. What needs to be moved in your life? What needs to happen in your life? What needs to break in your life? What needs to turn in your life? I don't know where you're sitting. I'm gonna ask you to be bold this morning to say, you know what? I need a miracle in my life. I need a miracle. We need a miracle in our family. We need a miracle in our home. If that's you, I just want you to stand on your feet across the room. Don't be afraid. You're getting something from God. I'm receiving. Jesus. But Jesus, Jesus, there is freedom in the name, healing in the name, power in the name, salvation in the name, that is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Hey, Alamai. I feel God in this house. I'm telling you, God is going to do miracles in this room today. He's going to do miracles in this room today. If I believe that God can, if I believe that God will, from one side of this room to the other, just lift your hands for a moment. Put yourself in a posture, in a position, if you're physically able, to say, Lord, I receive right now. I receive. My faith is reaching. My faith is soaring in this house today. My faith is saying yes. In the name of Jesus right now, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I pray for men, for women. I pray for young people today. I pray today that your power would invade this room. Your healing, mercy, your grace, your strength would fill up this house in the name of Jesus. I loose miracles in this room. I loose deliverance in this room. I loose breakthrough in this room. Right now, Lord, with my hands lifted, I receive it. I grab it. I grab it out of this spiritual realm and atmosphere and pull it into my heart and into my life. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I am set free. In the name of Jesus, I am delivered. Addictions are broken. Habits are canceled. In the name